everybody. Mike Malloy here. Thanks for tuning in tonight. It is it's a Wednesday. It's hump night. Hey, we have, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday until liberation. Yes. All we have to do is get through another 6 days. And then the Tea Party and the Republicans are going to save us. Oh, thank you, Jesus, or somebody. They're going to save us from this horrible, terrible Kenyan in the White House. They're going to save us from this health insurance reform. They're going to save us from everything. Oh, thank you, Jesus. 6 more days. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to wait till the third hour because I have a feeling this is going to, you know, like make me crazy. Like really, really crazy. But what we're going to do third hour is talk about what the Tea Party has in mind for the United States of America when they assume power next Wednesday. All right? Okay. In the meantime, let's pretend like it's the first hour of the program, which it is. We have an update from the Rand Paul volunteer who stomped his foot on the neck and shoulder of a liberal activist in Kentucky the other night. The incident, of course, was captured on all sorts of video cameras, quickly went viral on the Internet. Lexington, Kentucky police received numerous calls reporting the volunteer's identity and by midday Tuesday had delivered a criminal summons to Tim Proffitt, P-R-O-F-I-T-T, Tim Proffitt, a Bourbon County Kentucky volunteer for Mr. Rand Paul. Tim Proffitt was ordered to appear before a Fayette County District Court judge, and police said he would be charged with assault. Now, I'm sure you're aware of this already, but the episode occurred just before Rand Paul was to debate the Democratic candidate Jack Conway. And Lauren Valley, who is 23, she is a liberal activist. Oh, my goodness. Yes, they still exist. Ooh, a liberal activist. She's a volunteer for MoveOn.org. She approached Mr. Rand Paul and his curly hair to give him a mock award, going to present a little certificate that said, "You're a jackass," or something to that effect. At that point, some men wrestled her to the ground. Da-da, da-da, da-da. And Proffitt ground his foot into her shoulder and neck. You've seen it. Another one of Rand Paul's volunteers said, "Hey, no, no, come on." At which point the man stopped. Mrs. Valley spoke to reporters afterward. A MoveOn spokesman said later that she was treated for a concussion and sprained shoulder. The incident escalated into a political battle on Tuesday. Yesterday, Mr. Paul called on both sides for civility. You son of a bitch. Oh, my God. Now, some on the right, the lions of the right, including Rush, Cyst on My Ass Limbaugh, said Miss Valley was Limbaugh's words, or she's a professional agitator who had provoked the incident. Limbaugh said, "Nobody's condoning the manhandling, even of a radical liberal woman." But he added that she could have been a threat. And it was appropriate she was restrained. Mr. Proffitt told the AP, "I'm sorry that it came to that, and I apologized if it appeared overly forceful." But I was concerned about Rand's safety. That's what this cowardly pig prophet, Tim Prophet, said. He was concerned about Rand Paul's safety. This beer-bellied bastard, obese, out-of-shape teabag jerk. Oh, I'm going to step up here and save him from this little lady here. Here, on the floor, lady. I would imagine that Rand Paul could probably protect himself. But this volunteer decided that a rather slim and trim and not very big 23-year-old was a threat to the Nazi Rand Paul. Hogsnot. I hope Prophet is charged with assault, and I hope he goes to jail. I mean, it just keeps happening, right? Eric Cantor, somebody shows up at Eric Cantor event, sits down in a restaurant where the event's going to be held. Outside on the guy's car, there's a sticker that touts Eric Cantor's challenger. And what happens? The owner of the restaurant comes up, tells him to get out. He goes outside. The police attack him. Look at that video. Because he had a bumper sticker. What happens with this brown shirt freak in Alaska, Joe Miller? Reporter asks him questions. And Joe Miller has his goon squad put him under, citizen's arrest. This freaky mobster wannabe, Carl Paladino in New York, threatens the life of a reporter from New York's most conservative, freaked out, stupid ass, Murdoch-owned newspaper, the New York Post. And Paladino says he's going to have him taken out. I will take you out. Woo! Wow! You like that language? I'll have you taken out. I'll have you put down. I'll have you iced. I'll have you... Oh, Carl, you just get me all aroused when you talk that big man talk like that. Holy damn! Woo! Linda writes, Mike, I believe and always will that what we are seeing is a result of our declining education system. I graduated high school in the 70s. I remember well we were encouraged to use our brains and encouraged to develop critical thinking skills, always. It was to be a lifelong process. Always question and investigate to your own satisfaction, to come to your own conclusions. I saw this principle decline at an alarming rate after I left school. The invasion of the mind snatchers crowd seems to become the norm thereafter. These mindless followers, the Republicans, the Tea Party types, have fallen into their trap of teaching propaganda. The teaching says if you repeat something over and over again and long enough, people will believe whatever you're saying. Bombard people long enough so they're not capable of making sense of what's going on. All you have to do is tune into us. Rush, Hannity, Fox. I'm actually surprised it has taken them this long to fulminate their mission. But I'm going to sit here in my Governor Moonbeam t-shirt until next Tuesday and take great delight in watching Meg Whitman go down in flames, along with several $1 million of her own money. Signed, Linda, lying low in Phoenix. No, Linda, that's not what's going to happen. The great teabag dumbass revolution is upon us! Hallelujah, we're to be saved. Praise Allah.
your news unfiltered, only with Mike Malloy.
Yeah, only with Mike Malloy. Okay, welcome back. For people who are watching on Ustream, sorry about all the stuff, but you know how this program works, right? another video that is out there showing, this time it's Eric Cantor, whose claim to Nazi-like tactics is ironic, to say the least. And his claim to Nazi-like tactics is how he allows, just like Rand Paul and Joe Miller and the rest of these morons allow, their so-called volunteers to conduct themselves. A guy named John Taylor, he's a Democrat. He lives in Louisa County, Virginia. Louisa, Virginia. It's a town and a county. He was arrested at a rally for Cantor and charged with trespassing, resisting arrest, and creating a public disturbance. No, wait. I was going to say, God, there's another one. He said today that he feels he was manhandled by the authorities there. A cell phone video shot by his son showed this guy, John Taylor, being escorted out of the Solid Grounds coffee house on the main street in Louisa, then being pushed up against a car, wrestled to the ground after he appeared to be resisting officials. Oh, why would he do that? You're not supposed to resist. You know, when you go to a political rally and all of a sudden the goddamn police show up, you're supposed to put your hands out and say, yes, please cuff me, sir. I'm sorry, lost my mind. The car parked in a meter directly in front of the restaurant was Mr. Taylor's. His wife sat inside with a poster for Democrat Rick Wall, who is challenging Cantor. And the poster called Cantor a chicken. Or you don't do that. Oh, no. John Taylor said Cantor had promoted the event on his website, so he assumed it was a public event. We even RSVP'd, he said. He and three other Democrats, a lynch mob. They're out to get this poor Eric Cantor. He and three other Democrats went inside the coffee house with the intent of asking questions of Representative Cantor, who has declined to debate his Democratic challenger. John Taylor said the Democrats were asked to leave by the coffee shop's owner. When they refused, there you go. Authorities escorted them outside. The three others were issued summonses for trespassing. Cantor arrived after the disturbance, entered the coffee shop by the rear door. He spoke about 20 minutes, shook hands with the guests, and left. Ray Allen Jr., a spokesman for Eric Cantor, said, quote, this was a clear attempt to disrupt the meeting. The voters of Virginia are going to reject this thuggery. End quote. Thuggery, right, Eric? You, of all people, Eric Cantor, should be ashamed of yourself. Calling in the police to remove someone who's there to hear a political candidate and then arresting him. It's a wonder they don't make him wear a yellow triangle. Right, Eric? Is that what's next? Some sort of an identifying symbol for people who don't necessarily think that you should be a representative from the great state of Virginia when you were too cowardly to debate your opponent? But none of you filthy right-wingers debate anybody. You don't have to, because you understand that your backers don't need to hear anything. They just need to be told what to do. And Joe Miller, this lying dog, Joe Miller, today a judge's order, following a judge's order, teabag Senate candidate Joe Miller's personnel file was made public just days before Alaskans prepared to vote. The file contains a letter written by Miller in which he takes responsibility for his actions on March 12, 2008, when he was found to have violated ethical conduct when working for the Fairbanks North Star Borough, where he was employed as an attorney. Oh, you worked for the government, did you? Miller wrote on March 17, 2008, over the lunch hour this past Wednesday, I got on three computers not belonging to me in the office. All of them were on and none of them were locked. I accessed my personal website for political purposes. I participated in a poll and then cleared the cache on each computer. I did the same thing on my computer. Jill asked the office what happened. I lied about accessing all the computers. I then admitted about accessing computers, but lied about what I was doing, end quote. Now, remember, Lisa Murkowski, who is the current senator and who Joe Miller defeated in the primary, earlier this week, Lisa Murkowski questioned Miller's honor. And former half-ass Governor Sarah Palin lashed out at Murkowski saying she had stooped to a new low. Well, guess what, Sarah? Murkowski, who I don't like, was right. Your boy is not only a coward, and he ought to shave once in a while. He's also a liar.
Because without dissent, it's not America. Here's Mike Malloy.
All right. 25 before the hour. How about these right-wing bastards? Here's some more. This is a different kind of violence. This is a Republican candidate for governor in Wisconsin, Scott Walker, was scheduled to welcome an extreme anti-gay politician, Virginia Governor Bob McDonald, to Wisconsin tonight. The story is this. Making his position on gay and lesbian issues clear, Republican candidate for governor in Wisconsin, Scott Walker, is set to welcome one of the most extreme anti-gay officials, Virginia Governor Bob McDonald, to Wisconsin tonight to raise money for Walker's campaign. As a newly elected governor, one of the first actions Virginia Governor McDonald took was to sign an executive order that stripped non-discrimination protections from gay and lesbian Virginia state workers earlier this year. Isn't that nice? When you deliberately take action as the chief executive officer of a state to remove protection, you are a son of a bitch, aren't you? In addition to being a complete Nazi, right? It goes on. This, in addition to Governor Walker's running mate, Rebecca Clefish, recently comparing the relationships of caring and committed same-sex couples to inanimate objects and dogs. So you folks in Wisconsin, boy, you got a real winner there, don't you, huh? When asked about this, FAIR Wisconsin, it is a advocacy group. When asked about this, FAIR Wisconsin Executive Director Katie Bellinger commented, quote, Scott Walker has stated that as governor, he would repeal domestic partnerships, stripping even the most basic protections from same-sex couples, including hospital visitation. We're not surprised that he's welcoming into his campaign one of the most extreme governors in the country who has already removed basic protections like these from gay and lesbian individuals in his own state, end quote. Isn't that nice, huh? Maybe Wisconsin's new Republican governor, if he gets elected, Scott Walker, and maybe Virginia Governor Bob McDonald can do the same thing. Maybe Eric Cantor will help you on the design. But how about pink triangles. How about if all the gay folk in Virginia and Wisconsin are required by law, eh, Bob? Hey, Scott, to wear a pink triangle. See Eric Cantor on that. He will help you. I'm sure he's got some kind of if not Eric, some kind of a family memory about that sort of stuff. From the homeland. Little pink, you know, triangle. Maybe a big Q in the middle of it. Huh? What's the German word? Sorry to German speakers in this country. I realize it's 2010 and not 1929 or 1930, but that's the model. I'm sorry. What is the German word for homosexual? We know what the German word for Jew was. Juden. Juden. What is it for homosexual? And then this, about a member of the Arkansas school board. Bob sent this in. Mike, have you seen this? Can you just feel the Christian love? God, how I wish we could throw religion on the trash heap of history. Arkansas school board member Clint McCants believes, quote, queers and, quote, fags should kill themselves. That is, if they don't get AIDS and die first. Okay. While school boards across the country are taking action against bullying and suicide, a board member of an Arkansas school district is using his Facebook page to encourage what he calls queers and fags to kill themselves. Clint McCants, M-C-C-A-N-C-E, Clint. Clint. Hey, Clint is a board member in the Midland School District in northern Arkansas. Responding to a call to wear purple last Wednesday to support LGBT youth, McCants wrote the following message on his Facebook page. Quote, seriously, they want me to wear purple because five queers killed themselves? The only way I'm wearing it for them is if they all commit suicide. I can't believe the people of this world have gotten this stupid. We're honoring the fact that they sinned and killed themselves. Because of their sin. Really, people? Killed themselves? Ignorant son of a bitch. Now, initially, on old Clint's Facebook, six people liked McCants' message. He also received supportive comments. Though some challenged his statement, one commenter wrote, quote, because hatred is always right. That led McCants to write, no, because being a fag doesn't give you the right to ruin the rest of our lives. If you get easily offended by being called a fag, then don't tell anyone you are a fag. Keep that poop to yourself. I don't care how people decide to live their lives. They don't bother me. It pisses me off, though, that we make a special purple fag day for them. I like that fags can't procreate. Jesus Christ. Arkansas, what is wrong with you? I also enjoy the fact that they often give each other AIDS and die. If you aren't against it, you might as well be for it. Can you believe this? McCants was again challenged on his statements and his Christianity. One commenter wrote, you need to stop and think for a second. You big Christian man. Keep all your thoughts to yourself. You don't want people talking about your family, so don't talk about others. And then Mr. McCants, school board member, responded this way. I would disown my kids. They were gay. They will not be welcome in my home or in my vicinity. I will absolutely run them off. Of course, my kids will know better. My kids will have solid Christian beliefs. See, it infects everyone. Jesus God. Human Rights President Joe Salmanis said, quote, Clint McCants has put a face on the hate that devastates our young people. McCants shouldn't be allowed near children, let alone managing their education. We call for his immediate resignation from the school board, end quote. Well, Joe, you know that's not going to happen. See, do you get this? Do you get this? You know, the school board member, you ought to do the same as these two governors, or the one governor and the governor wannabe. Just call up Eric Cantor and ask him about what sort of design should be used to pin to the clothing of homosexual people in this country in order to make sure that we normal folk can spot them. Hmm? And Eric, who is in favor of this kind of fascist Nazism, might be able to explain to all of these school board members and governors and wannabe governors how to do it, how to attach an identifying piece of cloth onto someone that governors and school board members don't like. Wow. Wow. Ein Schwuler. Ein Schwuler. Das ist ein homosexual. Ein Schwuler. Juden. Did I say, what did I say? The German pronunciation for Jew. Did I say Juden? Sorry. The word for homosexual in German, ein Schwuler, maybe, will that fit, all that fit on a little pink triangle? Would that fit and then just put it right here? Have to wear that when you go out? You got to put your pink triangle there? Hmm? Would that keep these good Christian white American men happy? Ein, what was it again? Ein Schwuler! Ja, das ist ein Schwuler! Welcome to the new American century, right? Yes, indeed. Thomas Friedman, who irritates the hell out of me most of the time. I mean, he really does. But, you know, a columnist for the New York Times, he had something today that, from which I'm going to quote when we come back. Oh, and by the way, how much does it cost to kill a Taliban soldier in Afghanistan or in Pakistan, wherever we can track the little devils down? How much does it cost to kill a Taliban soldier? I'll give you the answer in a minute. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. The world would never materialize. So why did they all come out of the woodwork on the day the Nazi died? The world is riddled with maggots. The maggots are getting fat. They're making a tasty meal of all the bosses and bureaucrats. They're taking over the boardrooms and they're fat and full of pride. And they all came out of the woodwork on the day the Nazi died. So if you meet with these historians, I'll tell you what to say. Tell them that the Nazis never really went away. They're out there burning houses down and peddling racist lies. And we'll never rest again until every Nazi
dies. End your day screaming with Mike Malloy.
It's come through a hole in the air from those nags in Tiananmen Square. It's coming from a field that this ain't exactly real, or it's real but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the homeless.
10 before the hour, Tom Friedman. He writes, I confess I find it dispiriting to read the polls and see candidates, mostly Republicans, leading in various midterm races while promoting many of the very same ideas that got us into this mess. Am I hearing right? Let's have more tax cuts. Unlinked any specific spending cuts, and while we're still fighting two wars, because that worked so well during the Bush years to make our economy strong and our deficit small, let's immediately cut government spending instead of phasing cuts in gradually while we're still mired in a recession, because that worked so well in the Great Depression. Let's roll back financial regulation, because we've learned from experience that Wall Street can police itself, and average Americans will never have to bail it out. Let's have no limits on corporate campaign spending, so oil and coal companies can more easily and anonymously strip the Environmental Protection Agency of its powers to limit pollution in the air our kids breathe. Yeah, let's discriminate against gays and lesbians who want to join the military and fight for their country. Well, not really. Let's restrict immigration, because after all, we don't live in a world where America's most important competitive advantage is its ability to attract the world's best brains. Oh, no. Let's repeal our limited health care reform rather than see what works and then fix it. Let's oppose the free trade system that made us rich. Well, made some of us rich. See why I don't like Friedman? Oh, well. Let's kowtow even more to public service unions. Ta-da. So they'll make even more money than private sector workers. Tom, whose fault would that be? So they'll give even more money to Democrats, who will give them even more generous pensions. So not only California and New York will go bankrupt, but every other state, too. Let's pay for more tax cuts by uncovering waste I can't identify, fraud I haven't found, and abuse that I'll get back to you on later. See, Friedman, that's Friedman's attempt to be balanced, even though he's a columnist and should be able to say anything he wants to, because writing an op-ed piece is not writing news. But he has to throw in the gratuitous slam against the public service unions, right? And maybe some of them deserve it. I don't know. But when he says, let's kowtow even more to public service unions so they'll make more, even more money than private sector workers. Tom, oh, Jesus Christ, you can't be that stupid. You're a very educated man. You have more education in your leg than I have in my entire body. But, Tom, do you really think it's the fault of the unions that private sector workers, in some instances, make less money? Oh, dear God, I assume you do, don't you? Well, see, he had me up to that point about the unions. What percent of the workforce is unionized right now? What's the latest figure? 7%? Gee, Tom, those public sector unionized workers just have such power, right, Rush? I'm sorry. Right, Tom? How much does killing a Taliban soldier cost? Anybody want to guess? At least $50 million for every single kill. $50 million? How could that possibly be? $50 million. The report, originally posted on the Afghan news website, KabulPress.org, arrived at the $50 million figure by dividing the amount of money now being spent yearly on the war in Afghanistan, about $100 billion. $100 billion is what we are spending in Afghanistan. Do you understand that? $100 billion. Divide that number by the number of enemy now being killed annually. Enemy, the number of enemy. Enemy, the sons of bitches. It's their country, but they're our enemy. Okay. Divide the $100 billion by the number of enemy now being killed annually, estimated at 2,000. What's 2,000 into $100 billion? $50 million! You're right! The Pentagon sees that as a specious calculation. This was on AOL News, by the way. U.S. Air Force Lieutenant Colonel John Dorian, a Pentagon spokesman, told AOL News, quote, "It's important that you understand that the simplified logic in that article is flawed because capturing and killing Taliban is not the overall objective. The most strategic mission we have is in growing the size and capability of the Afghan National Security Forces. They represent the ability of the international community to one day turn over security responsibility. We have always said that we are not going to kill or capture our way out of this industrial strength insurgency," end quote. That's the United States Air Force Lieutenant Colonel saying that garbage crap that opens his mouth and bugs crawl out, and it sounds like that. Industrial strength insurgency. Let me ask you something, Colonel. What would you call yourself if a bunch of people came to your country and invaded your country and started killing your children and your mom and daddy and your grandparents and blowing up your schools and hospitals and what few bridges you have? What would you call that, Lieutenant Colonel? What would you call that? What would you call the people? One assumes it would be you, Colonel. Of course, you never took an oath to defend the country. You took an oath to defend the Constitution, right? Well, you could run over there to Philadelphia where they keep a copy, and you stand there with your weapon and just say, well, if any of them some bitches come over here, I'll kill them. Meantime, the country goes down the toilet. But what would you call the people in the United States, Colonel, who resisted? Insurgency. That's right. We'll be right back. Don't forget, coming up next hour, we are going to talk about what will be the result of this glorious takeover of the legislative branch of the United States government come and the presidency come 2012, but the takeover of the legislative branch next Tuesday night. Oh, man. It's good stuff, man. Good stuff. So stick around, okay? Okay. This is from the Wayback Machine from June of this year. June. So you know, in our minds, in the American mind, last June, I mean, that's 5 months ago. Jesus God, that's when the dinosaurs walked, right? 5 months ago, this came out. David Lenhart of the New York Times, May 22nd, 2010. Congress and the White House have completed 16 months of activity that rival any other since the New Deal in scope or ambition. If there's a theme to all this, it has been to try to lift economic growth while also reducing income inequality. Now, what this is a very quick cheat sheet on what the Obama administration has done. And again, please keep in mind, I think it's time to destroy the system. There's a systemic problem. It's not because the Republicans are Nazis, even though they are. It's not because they are lying thugs, even though they are. It's not because Democrats are cowards, and every time they hear the word Democrats in Congress, every time they hear the word filibuster, they run to the cloakroom and wet their pants. It's way beyond that. Capitalism, systemically, is rotten. It always has been. But it was always able to cover up that rottenness to a large extent. Because in this country, they came over here and built the country on slavery after annihilating the people who really owned the country. Owned the country, Mike? Well, they thought they did until the white folks arrived. So capitalism came over here and said, oh, my God, look at this. And then they gave themselves a divine right to take over. Manifest destiny. Remember that? Manifest destiny. It's in the Bible somewhere. God sent us here. Jesus. Remember all that? Okay. So capitalism, in my opinion, should be dismantled, put in boxes, put in a huge pile, and burned. Just forget about it. It's over. And move on to something that makes sense, like democratic socialism. But if we are going to operate within the framework of capitalism, here's some things you need to know. This goes back to March of this year, what the Obama administration accomplished in 16 months. The American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, enacted in the first month of Obama's term to jumpstart the economy, created and saved 3.5 million jobs, gave 95% of American workers a tax cut. Oh, no, he didn't. No, he didn't. It was a tax increase. God damn it, that's what Rush Limbaugh says, is an increase. No, it was a tax cut to 95% of American workers. And the American Recovery and Investment Act was to begin to rebuild America's road, rail, and water infrastructure with accountability this time. Now, it hasn't gone anywhere, but that was the idea. It was signed into law. Student Aid and Fiscal Responsibility Act. The largest investment in college aid in history, increasing Pell Grants, making college loans more affordable, strengthening community colleges while reducing the federal deficit by ending wasteful student loan subsidies to banks. That was passed into law. So, the HIRE Act created 300,000 jobs with tax incentives for businesses hiring unemployed Americans and to spur small business investment. That was signed into law. Cash for Clunkers, you know what that was, spurred the sale of 700,000 vehicles. That was signed into law. Worker Home Ownership and Business Assistance Act, boosting the economy with emergency aid for the unemployed. The first-time home buyer tax credit and tax relief for struggling businesses, signed into law. American Jobs and Closing Tax Loopholes, to prevent corporations from shipping jobs overseas at taxpayer expense, make Wall Street billionaires pay a fair share on their income, and create jobs through research and develop small business, middle-class tax rate, infrastructure, etc. Passed the House and the Senate. I guess it's been signed into law. Remember, this is from June. Now, let's move on to affordable, quality health care. The health insurance reform was signed into law. It includes health care for 11 million children, coverage for 4 million more children, and preserved coverage for 7 million children already enrolled. That was signed into law. FDA regulation of tobacco, including advertising, marketing, manufacture of tobacco products, the number one cause of preventable death, signed into law. Food safety, to better protect our food supply and address foodborne illness outbreaks, passed by the House. Now, let's move on to clean energy jobs and conservation. American Clean Energy and Security Act, historic legislation to create millions of American jobs, reduce U.S. dependence on foreign oil, cut carbon pollution, keep costs low for Americans. That was passed by the House, where it now languishes in the Senate, of course. Omnibus Public Land Management, the most significant conservation bill of 15 years, signed into law. The statute, this is fiscal responsibility. Dun, 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 dun. Statutory pay-as-you-go. Restoring 1990s law that turned record deficits into surpluses. Congress must offset new policies that reduce revenues or expand entitlements. Signed into law. The protecting consumers and taxpayers angle here. Wall Street reform and consumer protection. Historic reforms to end taxpayer-funded bailouts and too-big-to-fail financial institution protect consumers. Blah, blah, blah. Passed by the House and the Senate. Credit card holders' Bill of Rights. providing tough new protections to for consumers, including banning unfair rate increases, abusive fees, and penalties signed into law. Defense procurement reform, cracking down on Pentagon waste and cost revenues, or cost overruns, signed into law. Lilly Ledbetter fair pay, restoring rights of women and others to challenge unfair pay, signed into law. Veterans Health Care Budget Reform and Transparency Act, signed into law, ensuring reliable and timely veterans health care funding by authorizing Congress to approve medical care for VA medical care a year in advance. Caregivers, just on and on and on. So I only point that out to offer a rapid fire and therefore probably incomprehensible, just quick bullet points of some of the things that have occurred, legislation that has been passed and either signed into law or now languishing in one or both houses because the Democrats are peeing on themselves because they're afraid that there will be, you know, a filibuster for the ones that are stalled. We mentioned last night that Tariq Aziz, former top aide to Saddam Hussein, had been sentenced to death by an Iraqi court yesterday. And I just mentioned in passing, and I want to go back to it. You remember Tariq Aziz. He was that funny-looking guy with the bug eyes and the glasses and always calm, always, you know, willing to just... that wasn't Baghdad Bob. No, Baghdad Bob was somebody else who was just... Oh, the Baghdad Bob, that's right. He was a general who, as the bombs are falling... Or am I getting the wars mixed up? Was that the first war? The first time we invaded when George Herbert Diebert Bush... And I think it was. Don't confuse me. Don't send me an email. Just let me stay confused is what I mean. But Tariq Aziz, a Christian. Thank you, Reg. An Eastern Orthodox style kind of, you know, Catholic, but a Christian nonetheless, still believes that Jesus Christ is his Lord and Savior and Virgin Mary and all that. And then when he dies, he'll go to heaven to the bride. Pepe Escobar has a piece here that I've got to share with you. It's from Asia Times, and it's about poor old Tariq. Tariq Aziz, the guy who was, he's a former Iraq deputy prime minister. And boy, did he get some payback. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Speakers. It'll be our secret.
It is 21 past the hour. We're talking with Harry in Canada, who's listening on Sirius. Thanks for holding on, Harry.
Hi, Mike.
Hey.
Listen, Mike, on a happier note, what originally got me tuning into your station was I was just surfing on the radio one night, and I came across all the Floyd music. And anyway, I just, on the 16th of September, I saw Roger Waters do the wall up in Toronto, and if you don't, I'm sure you're a big fan. And
oh, yeah.
That is, if you're the guy that programs the music. But if you get a chance to see Roger do the wall, it's an amazing show, and I know you'd absolutely love it.
Well, I've seen a couple of presentations of the wall by Pink Floyd and the Australian version, which I think was Roger Waters and the crew a couple of years ago, which may be the same tour you're talking about, because I know he's been out on this Roger Waters tour. They're not calling it Pink Floyd, of course.
No.
But it's pretty astonishing. That album, which is now what? When did that come
79.
Out? 79. It's 33 years old. That's 31 years old. It's a little hard to believe that was released 31 years ago. But anyway, yeah, if it, I looked at their tour schedule as far as Waters coming here, and I don't think he's going to be in the Atlanta area, but if I get a chance, I'll definitely try to make it.
Oh, you should if you get the opportunity. Anyway, Mike, the bottom line is, you know, I truly believe that there's a lot of people like you in the U.S., and that's what I'm counting on. You know, I admire your courage. You know, you're a voice of reason, and you're a voice of sanity. And, you know, in this country, we've got our own political situations, and right now, we've got a conservative government in this country that has had a minority for quite a number of years, and they reflect a lot of the policies that I don't approve of.
Mm-hmm.
And they mirror a lot of things that are going on in your country. And we need a good liberal voice in this country again.
Yeah, you do. And I hope it happens in Canada. For obvious reasons, since we, not to offend anybody in the Great White North, but the differences between the United States and Canada are less, I think, than the differences between any two other countries on Earth that share this common border. I mean, my God, and I fully acknowledge. The people of Quebec as not being, you know, necessary. You understand what I'm saying. There's a lot of people in this country who don't speak English either and who choose a different language as the French speakers of Quebec. But the differences are a lot smaller than similarities, I think, between the two countries. So, you know, whatever. And again, I don't want to offend anybody in Canada. God knows, linking the United States and Canada may be the worst thing I could have just said to our Canadian listeners, but I don't mean it that way. I just mean it from an historical point of view, you know. So,
well, you know, in a lot of ways, we're very similar, and a lot of our Well, actually, I just lost my train of thought there.
Well, I wonder how many Americans understand the trade between the United States and Canada. If I'm not mistaken, and I could be here, but Canada, I believe, is the country from whom we get most of our oil.
That's correct.
Now,
as a matter of fact, the tar sands in Alberta right now have the largest oil reserves next to Saudi Arabia on Earth.
Well, there's so much. It's astonishing to me how ignorant we Americans are. But where it concerns the neighbor to the north, it's just profound ignorance that exists down here. Hey, Harry, thanks. I appreciate you checking in. Don't be a stranger. Call whenever. Okay.
Take care, Mike.
All right. You too. I think that's right. Reg will let me know here in about 10 seconds if it's not if it's not right. About Canada being our number one source of oil. No, it's not Saudi Arabia. I think it is Canada. Oh, well. What's this? Roger Waters in Atlanta. Oh, okay. He is going to be here. Thursday, November 18th. Damn, we work then. Unless you catch a cold. We have to have Brad substitute for us or something like that. All right, we have a break here. We'll come back and take your phone calls again, so stick around. This is the Molloy Program.
Decent singing, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's good.
Okay, so good day. Our topic today is music.
That's right. Because my brother and I are now experts in the field,
yeah,
eh?
Right, because we're a band now.
Yeah.
Well, except for him. I'm a band.
Oh, how can you do that, making me look bad? You're such a hose hand.
Yeah, well, take off.
The drum solo.
okay, everyone. Like, this is me on the drums.
Oh, get out. It is not.
It
you're
is
not.
So.
Stop
I
lying,
learned.
Will you?
Take off, eh?
Take off.
Here it is. Back to Mike Malloy.
You know, one of the reasons this borderline personality disordered Glenn Beck so often has used Nazism and fascism and so on and so forth in his daily diatribes is to inoculate him, the right wing, the teabaggers, his crew, the whole fascist movement in this country. It's called the best defense is a good offense. But the fact remains that the right wing in this country has gone all Nazi. I mean, they're crazy. I'd have to admit the uniforms are great, right? Unless that was the last thing you saw before they turned on the gas or lit the furnaces. But who thinks the uniforms were just super cool was Richard Ayotte. Now, who is he? Well, he's in Toledo. He's running for the House, I believe. I think he is. He's a Nazi reenactor. Like we have here in the South with the Civil War reenactors. Okay, you guys in gray, all fall down. You're all dead now. You guys in blue, go ahead and roll your cigarettes or your joints. Most of them smoke dope. If you ever been to a Civil War reenactment in the South, damn, you think those boys are standing over there rolling up, you know, loose tobacco? Please. Anyway, this is at, where is this? Where is this? Oh, TPM, Muckraker, Josh Marshall's site. Well, he's part of it. He writes, I thought Richard Ayotte had been put out to pasture after news broke that his main hobby was Nazi reenacting. After the news came out, Eric Cantor denounced him. And then everything pretty much went downhill from there when he started saying that he didn't think we were in a position to judge the SS soldiers who did all that cool stuff on the Eastern Front. But apparently Ayotte is out of the doghouse and back in John Boehner's house this Saturday. Boehner is going to appear at a special pre-election rally for Ayotte in, are you ready, Kathy? Toledo, in my hometown. That makes sense, right? Where the unemployment up there is, what, about 40%? The invitation says, calling all Ayotte volunteers, please join us for this very special pre-election rally with House Minority Leader John Boehner. What a great way to start off your pre-election weekend. Please wear any Ayotte gear you may have. Ayotte gear! With any other candidate, you might think that would be, you know, baseball caps and T-shirts and little banners. But with Ayotte's predilections, who knows? Gott mit uns. Gott mit uns. On the belt buckle, that would be good. Boehner could end up in a Leni Riefenstahl moment on his hands. Jawohl. I'm sorry. I apologize to all the German speakers out there. Unbelievable. Michael in Roswell, regarding that $50 million per Taliban fighter, yes, based on $100 billion that you and I are spending there. Somebody is. Where's it going? That's right, the Chinese. $100 billion. Of course, they're giving us money and buying our paper, our debt, so that eventually when they say, pay us, we better. Anyway, $100 billion and 2,000 dead Taliban fighters a year, that works out to $50 million per. And Michael writes, per dead Taliban fighter? That must mean all the civilians that we kill are free. Yeah, what is the ratio? Something like 7 to 1, 12 to 1, 10 to 1? Civilians What would you do, you teabagger bastard, if somebody was killing your family and your neighbors? I know you'd run and hide. This was at two websites that I frequent, CBS News and also over at CNET. It's being proposed that the WikiLeaks.org website be the first public target for U.S. government cyber attack. This is how desperately the military-industrial complex and the real killers, and now Barack Obama is part of this, how far they will go to first keep their blood-soaked deeds silent, and when they do get out, how far they'll go in punishing the person, group, or organization that got the truth out. After the shadowy document-leaking organization distributed nearly 500,000 classified documents from the Iraq War last Friday, Washington officialdom responded with a torrent of denunciations, alleging violations of national security, endangering U.S. military operations, blah, 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 blah. In a rare point of congruence, the Washington Post and the Mooney Washington Times both criticized the release, with the smaller paper, the Times, arguing that WikiLeaks' offshore website should be attacked and rendered inoperable by the U.S. government. Some hawkish conservatives followed suit, including blah, 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 State Department advisor under Bush, who wrote a column calling on the U.S. military to, quote, electronically assault WikiLeaks and any telecommunications company offering its services to this organization, end quote. Ooh, whoops, well, no, wait a second. Amazon.com has the servers for WikiLeaks. Careful now. And Declan McCullough, who wrote this, said if such an action were planned, one wouldn't have to look far for the target. WikiLeaks' website is actually hosted on Amazon.com servers on United States soil near San Jose, California. Well, there you go. The tech-savvy activists at WikiLeaks are taking advantages of the popular Amazon Web Services, described as offering, quote, massive compute capacity and storage, end quote, that is automatically ramped up as more and more people connect to a website, a perfect fit for a group that had anticipated a deluge of traffic. Yada, yada, yada. An Amazon spokeswoman contacted yesterday morning did not respond to multiple inquiries. The Pentagon representative said yesterday he had no immediate response, and Justice Department spokesman Dean Boyd said only, quote, we continue to assist the Defense Department in its investigation into the leak of classified information to WikiLeaks, end quote. Now, to be sure, calls for forcibly muzzling WikiLeaks also happened back in July when the military dispatches were posted from the Afghanistan war. The daughter of the zombie Dick Cheney, old Liz, for instance, said, quote, I would really like to see President Obama move to ask the government of Iceland to shut down the website. I'd like to see him move to shut it down ourselves if Iceland won't do it. At the time, WikiLeaks was hosted on a server in Sweden and, after the release of the Iraq files, though, the suggestions for an electronic war to be launched against Julian Assange has become more pointed. The Washington Times said in an editorial that WikiLeaks is now, quote, a threat to U.S. national security and should be treated accordingly. The Washington Times, owned by the Reverend Sun Myung Moon, who considers himself to be the latest incarnation of the Christ, the Washington Times said the U.S. government, quote, should be waging war on the WikiLeaks web presence, end quote. How'd you like to be Julian Assange, huh? If the U.S. government does begin an electronic attack on WikiLeaks, the military's new cyber command that would be one candidate to undertake it. The new organization is charged with allowing the U.S. Armed Forces to conduct, quote, full-spectrum military cyberspace operations in order to enable actions in all domains, end quote. All domains. all domains, which include destroying electronic infrastructure as thoroughly as a B-52 or a B-2 bomber would level a power plant. Oh, and by the way, we didn't know this, you and I, unless we're really, really, really paying attention, but 2 years ago, Bush, right before he left office, signed the secret National Security Presidential Directive 54, which was later revealed to include offensive elements. No! Earlier, when a congressional committee asked Lieutenant General Keith Alexander, now the head of the NSA and Cyber Command, about the possibility of conducting tactical and operational offensive operations, he said he could answer that question only in a classified setting. We don't want the American public to know about this, goddammit. What, are you kidding me? A cyber attack. Jeff Morrell, Pentagon spokesman back in August, left open the possibility of offensive action against WikiLeaks. He said at the time, quote, if it requires compelling them to do anything, then we will figure out what other alternatives we have to compel them to do the right thing. Oh! Oh! Mr. Assange, WikiLeaks, how dare you reveal the truth? Oh, and by the way, regarding the Afghanistan releases... Brigadier General Joseph Osterman, commander of the 1st Marine Division, said yesterday in a teleconference from Afghanistan, quote, as far as the WikiLeaks about Afghanistan, that really has had no impact at all on us, end quote. For the hour. Last night we took phone calls, which I don't know if we're going to tonight or not. But Tom in Maryland had called in. I'm sorry. That was a couple of nights ago. Anyway, just got this email from him. Regarding that call, hey, Mike, thanks for taking my call the other night. I did have another comment on something else, though, the minimum wage. If I remember correctly, a few years back, Congress voted to raise the minimum wage to $9 an hour or something by something like 2014. This is a joke, a bad one at that. I earn $9 an hour right now. I am 23 years old and going nowhere fast. I have to live with my parents because the cost of renting even the crappiest of apartments comes to about 3/4 of my monthly income. Add to that the cost of car and health insurance, utilities, gasoline, and food. I end up with negative dollars. As there are very few jobs out there right now, I have very little chance of advancement in my chosen field, home and audio visual electronics. And radio. There have been many layoffs in the field, and those who are hiring have their pick of experienced workers who will work for anything they can get. Am I doomed? Can I come work for you? I'll work for free. I'll camp out in the hills behind the house, for F's sake. Anything to get myself the least bit of experience so that just maybe somebody will hire me. Again, thanks for taking my call, Tom in Mount Airy. I wish we could hire people. And no, there's no way in hell that we'd allow anyone to work for free. Wouldn't be the right thing to do. I don't know if I'll get to this next hour, but I just wanted to mention, you aware of that huge windstorm that is, it's like a Category 3 hurricane. It's been centered right over the United States. Are you aware of that? A monster. The biggest... I think the second biggest storm to rip across the country in recorded history. A, B, the lowest barometer reading ever recorded in the middle of this thing. Gusts up to 81 miles an hour as it howled across the Midwest and South. I know we've had just... I'm surprised that we still have power. I'm surprised we're still in the air. Last night, tonight, this thing has been a monster. It was the lowest pressure reading, the lowest barometric pressure reading ever in a non-tropical storm in the mainland United States. And a spokeswoman for NOAA, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, said the storm was within the top five in terms of low pressure, which brings bigger winds. Tornadoes all over the place. And one of the predictions several years ago, now if you saw pictures of it on CNN or MSNBC today or on your local news, on your weather reports, or you can go online and take a look at it, this thing, this cyclonic wind, it looks just like a hurricane, only it's centered over the landmass of the United States, which is, it doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen that way. But about a decade ago, the people who were trying to warn the rest of us about what global climate change would result in had predicted that one of the manifestations of global warming or global climate change, whatever you want to call it, would be monster hurricanes. I mean, cyclones so big as to defy imagination. And one of the signs of global warming, of course, is massive amounts of moisture, whether it's rain or snow. That's what tickled me last year when it snowed so hard all over the Northeast. And the dumbasses, the Republicans and the teabaggers, build an igloo. Remember that? And say, hey, there's Al Gore's house. Global warming. Hell, we got 24 inches of snow out here. Stupid sons of bitches. Just, I mean, my God. So anyway, one of the predictions made by those lying communist, probably from Kenya, weather scientists, one of the predictions were these huge cyclonic storms. And I think a lot of people at the time thought, oh, big hurricanes? Oh, well, I don't think so. That's like in the movies. It's here. It's here. Kathy and I were talking today, how do you prepare your little kid? If you have a little kid, little niece, nephew, kid, grandkid, whatever, how do you get them ready for this? When I was a little bit older than Molly is when we started having in our elementary school duck and cover drills. So I guess parents back in the 50s wondered the same thing. How do we prepare our children for what's coming with mutual assured destruction between the United States and the Soviet Union? I guess the difference was then that the exchange of nuclear weapons, thermonuclear war, all of that depended on human beings taking action. You had to opt in for nuclear war. I realize there were possibility of accidents and so on and so forth, but you still had to opt in. With global climate destruction, there's no opting in. We opted in over the past 150 years, and here we are. So I just wonder, later on tonight or this weekend, whenever you get a chance, if you have any suggestions about what we tell all of our little people. And I'm sure around the planet, everybody, all parents, grandparents, aunts and uncles have to think about this. But what do you tell the children? What do you tell the children? Kids, you may live another 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, and then it's going to become impossible to breathe. We'll be back after the break. And we are going to, stick around. I think you'll find, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I think you're going to find this very entertaining. I'm Mike Malloy. Rah! know, I'm wondering how far their lies go. They lie about their personal lives. They lie about their intent. They lie about whatever political philosophy they don't have any. But they lie about everything. Everything is a lie. Now, if that holds true, then we have nothing to worry about when they take over, as they're going to, according to all the pundits, after next Tuesday. We will be on the final slope to a real fascist government. And the teabaggers have promised to dismantle all these departments of this and departments of that, right? So if they are lying, which is their nature, they cannot help themselves. A zebra has a certain appearance. Teabaggers lie. Cockroaches skitter around until you turn the lights on. Teabaggers lie. These are immutable facts of the natural world. Teabaggers lie. But let's take a look. Supposing they're not lying when they say that once elected, they have actually two goals. This poor, miserable Mitch McConnell mentioned one goal the other day, and that is to spend the next 2 years removing Barack Obama from office, or, that's not the way he put it, the way he put it was making sure that Barack Obama doesn't get reelected. Well, about the only way to do that is remove him from office. Now, Joe Miller would just as soon remove him by having somebody show up at the White House and stomp on his head. Mitch McConnell and his thugs would like to remove him through an impeachment process. But anyway, the second goal is to eliminate all or most of the following agencies, because after all, they're nothing but useless, bloated, Democrat-controlled bureaucracies, right? Department of Agriculture, the Department of Commerce, the big boogabear, Department of Education. Oh, yeah. Where they teach our kids to be queer. Department of Energy. Department of Health and Human Services. Oh, they love to go after that one. Ah! Department of Housing and Urban Development. Ooh, goodbye. Department of the Interior. All they do is get in the way of the gas and mining and timber industries, right? Department of Justice. Oh, those dirty sons of bitches. All they try to do is force us decent white people to put up with Negroes. Department of Labor. Department of State. Department of Transportation. Department of the Treasury. And the Department of Veterans Affairs. Now, the one I left out, obviously, is Department of Defense. Because after all, as any self-respecting, as any moronic teabagger will tell you, the only thing the Constitution provides for is defense. All this other crap is crap. Well, and also Social Security. Social Security that has been in place for, 75 years? Department of Agriculture. let's just take a quick look here. Department of Agriculture. That includes, there's all kinds of divisions within the Department of Agriculture. Center for Nutrition Policy. That's got to go. Commodity Credit Corporation. Get them out of here. Farm Service Agency. What the hell is that? Food and Nutrition Service. God damn it, all they have to do is read the Bible. That'll tell you what you're supposed to eat. Food Safety and Inspection Service? Oh, no. Forest Service. Oh, there they are. They're those evil bastards that stop decent, God-fearing, America-loving timber companies from denuding the national forest. Let's get rid of them. Grain Inspection Packers and Stockyards Administration. Oh, yeah. That's one of those regulatory agencies, right? They're gone. The 4-H Club Organization. Get rid of them, too. Natural Resources Conservation Service. Well, that's got to be a commie division. Federal Crop Insurance Corporation. Hey! Do what the Bible says. Pray and your crop will come in. Get out of here with that. Bureau of Industry and Security. Oh, no, wait, that's the United States Department of Commerce. Yep, I'm almost shifting into the next one. Okay, all those departments within the Department of Agriculture, gone! Get out of town! That's what the teabaggers are saying. Department of Commerce. The Bureau of Industry and Security. The Economics and Statistics Administration. Bureau of the Census. Oh, boy, is that one gone. That's run by commies. All they're trying to do is make sure that brown people have better representation in Congress than a stalwart white folk do. Economic Development Administration, Invest in America. These are all divisions in the Department of Commerce. Invest in America. Invest in America? What the hell does that mean? You have to invest where you can get the cheapest labor. These goddamn unions have destroyed America. Get out of that one. That guy's gone. Minority Business Development Agency. They're not supposed to run businesses. They're supposed to clean swimming pools and pig lettuce. Minority businesses. Oh, my God. National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. I don't need that either. I can go to Fox News and see their weather report. Damn all that. National Weather Service. What did I just say? National Oceanic Service. Oh, that's some people that want to save those goddamn porpoises. Oh, no. National Marine Fisheries Service. Hey, screw that. I don't eat fish. I like steak. National Environmental Satellite Data and Information Service. Environmental? Glenn Beck told me the other day anything with the word environmental in it is communist. The National Institute of Standards and Technology. I don't even know what the hell that is. That's got to go. Goodbye. Boing. Next, the Department of Labor. Bureau of Labor Statistics. Now, there's not a redneck teabag freak ass in America that hates that one. All that does is depress me. They tell me how many of us don't have any jobs. We don't have any jobs because of that Obama. He's from Kenya, you know. Employee Benefits Security Administration. Oh, no. Oh, no. Employment and Training Administration. Hell no. Job Corps. Hey, I know about the Job Corps. Michelle Bachmann told me they're trying to raise the Job Corps, and they'll give them all guns, and they'll come and kill us right-wingers. That's what they'll do. To hell with the Job Corps. Mine Safety and Health Administration. What? What? Mine's already safe. Okay, there's an accident every once in a while, but goddammit, that's a dangerous business. Mine say, get them out of here. Occupational Safety and Health Administration. Oh, those are them people that say you gotta have they gotta have that sign on a stepladder that says do not go above this step, right? Get rid of them. Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation. Pension? That'll be like me. Pull yourself up in your bootstraps. That's what you don't need no pension. Wage and Hour Division. Wage and Hour Division. What does that mean? Benefits Review Board. I don't know what that is either. Office of Disability Employment Policy. Oh, you mean them crippled people? God damn it, they should go get whatever they need from the church food bank. They don't have to be out there working. Disability Employment Policy. I'll tell you what that ought to be. Stay your ass at home!
seekers, here's the truth speaker, Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. The teabaggers, they're going to get rid of all the agencies that don't belong there because they're not in the Constitution. We shall continue with our list. Now, we just covered the Office of Disability Employment Policy within the Department of Labor. And, of course, as any good teabagger knows, if you're disabled, stay your ass at home. Unless you're like the average teabagger who has a colostomy bag and an oxygen tank following around, all paid for, of course, by, you know, Medicare. But as far as real disabled people, you know, those people with no arms or legs or them blind people, what the hell are they talking about employment anyway? Stay home, right? Also, within the Department of Labor, we have the Office of Federal Contract Compliance Programs. Federal Contract Compliance Programs. You mean you left-wing bastards don't trust corporate America when they make a contract, stick to it? The Office of Workers' Compensation Program. Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Bye. The Ombudsman for the Energy Employee Occupational Illness Compensation Program. What does that mean? Too many big words in there. Well, let me tell you, Mr. Teabagger, what it means. It means that people who work in the energy industry, like the nuclear industry, the well drilling industry, the coal mining industry, they have a propensity to get illnesses like cancers and lung disease. So what? Let me finish. Cancers and lung disease, and this is a compensation. I have to pay for that! It comes out of the federal budget, yes. I don't like that. Right. Moving on, the Department of Justice, that's got to go. Oh, my goodness. Just think of all the divisions of the Department of Justice that the teabaggers want gone, that any good fascist wants to see gone. The Antitrust Division, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives.
Oh, no!
The Civil Rights Division.
Yeah, that's them Negroes again, right?
Community Relations Service. Drug Enforcement Administration. Environment and Natural Resources Division. Executive Office for Immigration Review.
I know what to do. Joe Miller has it right. Build a goddamn wall just like the East Germans did. They can do it. Why can't we?
Right. Federal Bureau of Investigation.
All they do is go out there and kill people at Ruby Ridge. Get rid of them.
Federal Bureau of Prisons.
Well, now wait. Maybe we keep that one. Got to lock these law-breaking Muslims and the brown people up somewhere. I'll stay with that one.
National Crime Information Center.
No, no! They keep computer records on who buys a gun.
National Drug Intelligence Center.
I don't know what that means.
Office of the Associate Attorney General. Office of the Attorney General.
Oh, is that black guy? He's just always sticking his nose in where nobody... Yeah, get rid of that, too.
Office of the Deputy Attorney General.
What did I just say?
Mm-hmm. Office of the Justice Programs.
What?
The Bureau of Justice Assistance.
What?
Office for Victims of Crime.
I'll tell you, you know what I do? I just take my goddamn gun. You let somebody victim crime me, they'll be dead.
Office of Legislative Affairs. Office of the Pardon Attorney. Office of Privacy and Civil Liberties.
Well, that's a joke. Look what Obama's doing.
Office of Sex Offender Sentencing, Monitoring, Apprehending, Registering, and Tracking.
Well, I don't know about that one. Does that mean I got to stop looking at them porn sites?
Office of Special Counsel. Office of Tribal Justice.
Tribal? Look, we beat them Indians fair and square. Tribal justice, my ass.
Office of Violence Against Women.
I'll tell you how to handle that. Tell the bitches to shut up!
The Tax Division.
Don't get me started on that one.
U.S. Marshals. U.S. Attorneys. U.S. Parole Commission.
I don't know what any of them mean, But all I'm seeing here are dollar signs just flying all over the place. Good Lord, Malloy. And you wonder why we want all this gone?
Well, I have some more for you. The Department of the Interior is coming up.
What's that do?
Department of Housing and Urban Development.
Huh?
Department of Health and Human Services. It just goes on and on. Now remember, if the teabaggers are true to form, they are lying pigs. They are lying pigs. But if they're true to form, all this talk about abolishing all these different bureaucracies and agencies and cabinet posts within the U.S. government will be just that, empty talk, because they are liars. But if, in fact, they are telling the truth, the things that we have mentioned so far with this moron sitting next to me here are the things that are going to disappear. And there's more. And I'll even mention briefly, if you can handle it.
What do you mean?
The Social Security Office. Stay with us.
No more Mr. Nice Guy. Here's Mike Malloy.
Before the hour, if the teabag freaks are true to form, they're lying through their teeth, they're not going to abolish any agencies within the United States government. But if they're telling the truth, we are going down the list of those agencies and cabinet positions that these filthy fascists want to get rid of. We're all the way up to the Department of the Interior. Leading off the Department of the Interior in alphabetical order, Bureau of Indian Affairs.
Didn't you just talk about the Office of Tribal Justice?
Yeah, that was in the Justice Department. This is the Bureau of Indian Affairs.
See? Duplicating every damn thing, I'll tell you.
So, Bureau of Land Management. Bureau of Reclamation. Fish and Wildlife Service.
You know the best Fish and Wildlife Service?
What?
A hunting permit!
Bureau of Ocean Energy Management.
What?
The National Park Service.
I can't. You know, those sons of bitches won't let me take my gun in there.
Yes, you can.
Oh!
Office of Surface Mining. United States Geological Survey, the Office for Oil Spills.
Oil spills? Well, you know, my boy from Texas made that pretty plain to everybody. We apologize to BP. You sons of bitchin' liberals, every time something happens and people die because of oil explosion or a mine collapse, you get your asses all in an uproar. It's a risky job. Them people don't like it, let them get a different one.
Department of Housing and Urban Development, which is one of the favorite bureaucracies, and I use the term favorite in a very sardonic way.
What?
The Federal Housing Administration, the Federal Housing Finance Agency, Department of Enforcement Center, Office of Community Planning and Developing, Office of Congressional and Intergovernment Relations, Office of Equal Employment Opportunity, Office of Fair Housing and Equal Opportunity.
What does that mean? That means them blacks can move next door, right?
Office of Healthy Homes and Lead Hazard Control.
Lead Hazard Control? Didn't we have a Interior Department woman who was from the lead industry? That's where it should be.
Office of Labor Relations. Office of Public and Indian Housing.
Them goddamn Indians again!
Office of Small and Disadvantaged Business Utilization.
Too many big words in that one.
Office of Sustainable Housing and Communities. It just goes on and on. Get this, Kathy, get this sumbitch out of here. I can't take. Get out of here, sir. Get away.
What?
Get out.
Well, see, that's what you people always do. You make us real Americans leave, don't you? Well, goddamn you.
Thank you. Where did he come from? Oh, he lives right up the road. All right. U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Oh, boy, do they want to get rid of this one. Office of the Assistant Secretary for Aging. Office of the Long-Term Care Ombudsman. That would be what they call the death panels. Office of the Principal Deputy Assistant Secretary. Well, there you go. Office of Program Innovation and Demonstration. This is in the Health and Human Services. Office of Elder Rights. Office of Outreach and Consumer Information. President's Committee for People with Intellectual Disabilities. Administration on Children, Youth, and Families. Division of Child Welfare. Office on Child Abuse and Neglect. Family and Youth Services Bureau. Office of Associate Commissioner. Abstinence Education Division. Runaway and Homeless Youth Division. Office of Child Support Enforcement. Division of Consumer Services. And on and on. Child Care Regional Office Staff. Child Well-Being Branch. Education Branch. You know, all you have to do is go to Google and research this stuff for yourself if you want to see what the right wing wants to close down. Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, Food and Drug Administration, National Institutes of Health, Office for Civil Rights, Office of Minority Health, Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration. These are all under the Department of Health and Human Services. Department of Energy. That includes the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. It includes the national laboratories, like the Fermi National Accelerator Laboratory, Idaho National Engineering Laboratory, Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory, Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory, Los Alamos National Laboratory, National Energy Technology Laboratory, on and on and on. This is what the teabaggers want to get rid of. And the Department of Education, oh my God. Everything in the Department of Education, Office of Elementary and Secondary Education, Office of Special Education and Rehabilitative Services. On and on, Office of Civil Rights, Institute for Educational Sciences. Department of Transportation. Yeah, that's on the chopping board for these right-wing Nazi bastards, too. Federal Aviation Administration. That's the FAA. Federal Highway Administration, right? Federal Railroad Administration. Federal Transit Administration. National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. Oh, my God, get rid of them. Pipeline and Hazardous Materials Safety Administration. Surface Transportation Board. This is these are the organizations. Now, be aware. That's all I'm telling you. You want to vote teabagger? You want to vote Republican? Go right ahead. Do it. I hope you do. I hope these teabag sons of bitches and these right-wingers turn out in record numbers. Let's do it! Department of Veterans Affairs? National Cemetery Administration. Well, that'll take care of that. Then any right-wing Republican who claims he served in the United States military, lying through his filthy teeth, can get his useless ass buried at Arlington when he dies, right? Veterans Benefits Administration, gone. Veterans Health Administration, gone. Board of Veterans Appeals, gone. Center for Minority Veterans, there they are again, gone. Center for Women Veterans, what? Office of Advisory Committee Management, Office of Employment Discrimination Complaint Adjudication, Office of Survivors Assistance, Veterans Service Organization Liaison, gone! All of them! Jesus, you're yelling a lot tonight. The list is endless. Social Security. God damn, here we go. I thought you got rid of him. Here we go. 1935. What does that make it? 75 years ago? Social Security Act. Federal Old Age Survivors and Disability Insurance. That's the Social Security Act. So what goes? Temporary assistance for needy families, unemployment benefits, Medicare, Medicaid, state children's health insurance programs, supplemental security income, all of it gone and turned over to the very bastards who brought you the great economic success we're all experiencing now, the predators that live in the financial epicenters in this country. This is vote for these teabag bastards. Go ahead, Sharon Angle. Yes, Joe Miller. Of course. The list goes on and on. Vote for them. Get them in office. Get these filthy Nazi bastards in office. Get them in. Let's get this over with. 2 years of this, that's all it'll take, and then the country will spiral into something that I hope will finally, finally take this country to the level that it has to be if we're going to survive. But let's take this boil, this huge pus-filled boil, like the one on Rush Limbaugh's ass that kept him out of the military, and let's lance it. And how do we do that? Put these pigs in office. That's all we have to do.
Working for something that I can't touch and sometimes can't even believe in. Oh, oh. Crayon by the hands of fate, the fate that sometimes wraps around so tight, so tight. They call me free.
Hey, I'm Mike Malloy, and I'm packing up the family and leaving the country. And we want you to come along. Okay, it's only a week, but you're invited to join me, Kathy and Molly, on a 7-night Progressive Voices cruise to the Eastern Caribbean. Also on board are Kerry Harrison, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., and Ring of Fire co-hosts Mike Papantonio and David Bender. You'll sail with Mike Farrell of MASH and his wife, Shelley Favre, from The Stephanie Miller Show, actor-comedian Hal Sparks, Daily Show co-creator Liz Winstead, and other Progressive hosts as well. We sail from Fort Lauderdale on February 5th to Puerto Rico, the Bahamas, and the pristine Half Moon Key. Join us and escape from those crazy teabaggers for a week with your fellow truth seekers. If you missed our incredible cruise a couple of years ago to Mexico, don't miss this one. Go to MikeMalloy.com and click on the Progressive Voices link to reserve your cabin. And please make sure you select Mike Malloy on the drop box that asks how you heard about the trip. Can't wait to see you on board. Before the hour, Now, if you want to know a good example of what will happen in this country when the teabaggers take over, as they surely will come November 2nd, according to all the pundits, a good example is front page New York Times this morning. GlaxoSmithKline, the great, big, humongous drug giant, has agreed to pay $750 million fine to settle criminal and civil complaints that the company for years knowingly sold contaminated baby ointment and an ineffective antidepressant. Ah! Altogether, according to the Times, GlaxoSmithKline sold 20 drugs with questionable safety that were made at a huge plant in Puerto Rico that for years was rife with contamination. The company's quality manager, Cheryl Eckerd, asserted in her whistleblower suit. See, she got fired when she went to management and said, hey, look, we got problems. Get out of here. She said in her suit she had warned Glaxo of the problems, but the company fired her instead of addressing them. Among the drugs affected were Paxil. Oh, no! How many of you people take Paxil? Bactroban, an ointment, Avandia. Oh, no! How many people with diabetes have taken Avandia? Coreg. A heart drug. Tagamet.
Oh, not Tagamet.
An acid reflux drug. In a rising wave, the Times says, recent lawsuits have asserted the drug makers misled patients and defrauded federal and state governments that, through Medicare and Medicaid, pay for much of health care. You see how this works? You see what these teabag son of a bitches want to get rid of? Get rid of the whistleblowers! And let this continue. Using claims from industry insiders, federal prosecutors are not only demanding record fines, but are hinting at more severe actions. Justice Department officials announced a settlement, this one, $750 million, in a news conference yesterday in Boston, saying a $150 million payment to settle criminal charges was the largest such payment ever by a manufacturer of adulterated drugs. The outcome also provides $600 million in civil penalties. And you know what this means to GlaxoSmithKline? Nothing! Absolutely nothing. GlaxoSmithKline released a statement saying that it regretted operating the Puerto Rican plant in violation of good manufacturing practices. American shares in the company, it's a British company, American shares in the company fell 0.35% on Tuesday. Oh, my God. 0.35% yesterday on the news that this filthy, putrid capitalist monster had been pumping poison into people that thought they were getting antidepressants. People thought they were getting a diabetes drug. People thought they were getting a heart drug.
Oh, well, it's just business as usual. You see, that's the way the capitalist system works. If enough people die or get sick, or their hearts explode, or their livers collapse, or their pancreas just shrivel up on them and die, well, then people will stop buying from that company.
That's how it's supposed to work. Healthcare cases. Now listen to this. Healthcare cases accounted for some 80% of the $3+ billion recovered by the Justice Department under the False Claims Act just last year. Most of the money is typically returned to the programs in which the false claims were filed, like Medicaid and Medicare. We'll get rid of Medicaid and Medicare. Get rid of it. Then none of this will happen. You see. The Food and Drug Administration and the Inspector General of the Health and Human Services Department both announced recently that they're going to pursue charges against executives personally, under a strict liability provision of the law, something that has not been done since 2007 when the three top executives of Purdue Pharma were convicted, sentenced to probation, and personally fined $34 million while the company paid a $600 million fine. This rule allows executives to be prosecuted and barred from government sales, even if they were not aware of specific violations. Oh, well, the teabaggers have to get rid of that. Do you know what that means? Golly damn, that means that the capitalist captains of industry will be held accountable. No, 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 no. The only people to be held accountable are the little dime bag dealers that stand on the street corner trying to pay for their children's school books. They're the ones that need to be held accountable, little drug-dealing bastards. But the captains of industry? Oh, no. When the teabaggers take power, that nonsense is going to stop. Oh, yeah. GlaxoSmithKline, $750 million fine. Paxil, Avandia, Coreg, Tagamet, and God knows how many more. Crap, slop, poison. But hey, the stakeholders in GlaxoSmithKline, they made a bundle. You're damn right. And they're going to continue. Praise Jesus. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.
Speak.